In this week's big question, we will be talking about the answers in the Wisconsin survey, the 2016 Wisconsin survey, and we will ask you whether you would back your party's nominee or not, and we will ask you what you would what you think should happen if there is a contested or brokered GOP convention. Do you think that Donald Trump should get the GOP nomination if he has the most delegates but maybe not enough to secure the nomination before the party's convention, or should someone else ultimately get the nomination? Ted Cruz or John Kasich or Paul Ryan? How about Scott Walker? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 20th. We will continue our coverage of the spring 2016 Wisconsin survey results. The Wisconsin survey is a collaboration among Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Television, and the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. Joining me now to talk about some of these political results, Charlie Jacobs, an associate professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Joy.
So the Wisconsin survey asked, if your candidate does not win your party's nomination, will you support your party's nominee in the fall election? Only 55% of respondents said yes. And I say only because that seems low. Should that be a cause for concern for both parties?
It does, with a big caveat regarding the rules about how you might get a third-party candidate on ballots in states and whether or not both states decide to do it, or I'm sorry, both parties decide to do it. I think what we're seeing here is a little bit of concern in the public regarding the choices that they have potentially ahead of them, and some reluctance to think when they walk into the voting booth that this will be their only choice. And I think there's some speculation about what would I do if I had more than just the party choices. And quite honestly, we've been seeing for decades what we call in the field de-alignment. That is, that the public no longer aligns themselves clearly as they used to with one party or another. And this is why people claim to be independents, even though there is some variability in how many people make that claim. And so what you see is people who just aren't tethered to parties in the same way that they used to be. We do have people we call leaners. They lean one direction or another, but they often are the wild cards in these kinds of races. And often given an opportunity to choose someone away from sort of the party candidate that has been blessed by the party, they might be more willing to bend a different direction. And so it could cause a little bit of consternation for the major party candidates if they know that they've got some sort of attack on their left or their right during the general election.
Yeah, we heard in our last hour people who are Bernie Sanders voters in the primary saying, I think we heard it from at least three of them, just in, you know, from Wisconsin Public Radio listeners, saying that they would not vote for Hillary Clinton in the general if Bernie Sanders does not get the nomination, that they would vote for the Green Party, or they would vote Republican, that they would vote for Donald Trump. What's your reaction to that?
I think there's a certain frustration among the public, and you can see that in another question that's posed in the poll, where they ask, you know, what is the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin today? And nearly one out of five said politics. And it's a little hard to disentangle exactly what that means, but I think it suggests that the people are just sort of worried about the conditions of politics today. And they see Trump and Sanders as outsiders, even though Sanders has obviously been an elected official for years, but they see them as distinct from establishment party politicians, one who don't have the same kind of connection to the power brokers and to the influential people, and that they would do something different. So even though Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders might seem worlds apart, I think they're connected by that kind of idea that they're outsiders who would push for change in a very aggressive way and maybe achieve it. They're not just mouthing the idea of change. They want to see a radical transformation of the way that politics works in Washington, D.C. And so I think that question sort of gives us some insight into that, even though we don't know specifically what they mean by politics.
So front runners Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have had trouble earning full support of their respective parties. Which party, if you can analyze it, should be more concerned about their base not showing up to the polls or voting for a third party candidate?
You know, I think it depends. It depends on who the final nominee is going to be. I think that Hillary may be able to bring some Bernie voters back home. Once she gets outside of the debate that she's having with Bernie Sanders, I think Clinton is going to get a more concentrated voice, one that is pushing back against the Republican agenda and a conservative agenda, and that might speak with more clarity to the kinds of issues that were raised by Bernie Sanders. And that typically happens in these, once you get to the general election, is that we start to get some clarity about what they're thinking, and they're speaking to a broader audience, and they have to be more careful about how they're framing their arguments. I think on the right, the candidates for the party are so unique that I'm not sure whether or not they're going to be able to create a solid coalition. I think what Trump has done, and you saw this in places like South Carolina, he was able to bring to the polls not just people who have sat out a couple of elections or become sort of disengaged, but people who had never participated before. And maybe they were drawn by some sort of cult of personality, or maybe they finally heard a message that resonated with them. But I'm not sure whether or not if Cruz or Kasich gets the nod, those people are going to be eager to show up at the polls. And so you might just have those people drop out of their base after creating them as a component of their party when they had never had them before. And so that may be a fear on the right that they have to deal with. And you could have some of the same on the left, because I think Bernie Sanders, kind of like Obama did, really speaks to a young audience. And so you may lose some of the youth vote, which tends not to show up very much in the poll, even in presidential elections.
Yeah. The possibility of a brokered convention has been one of the hottest topics in politics for some time now. How likely is that scenario, do you think?
I think it's getting more and more likely. I think that Trump, after last night, did himself a world of good. When you shut out your major contender, or at least that's what it appears to be at the moment, you've really shifted the momentum. And a lot of the states that are upcoming for the GOP are eastern states, and Trump has done reasonably well. If he can maintain a good clip here for him, and that means probably somewhere between 55% and 60% of the delegate count, he'll make it. But it's funny, I was reading some arguments from Mitt Romney, and his suggestion was that if he's very close, Trump might use some of his influence and power, not political influence and power, but just kind of his charisma and his wealth, to curry favor with those delegates who aren't committed and bring them over to his side before the first ballot is even cast. So he might be a few short, but he might be able to win some people over, as Mitt Romney suggested, with a flight on Trump's plane or something like that. So it might be one of those kinds of scenarios where you see Trump trying to leverage his power in that way. And, of course, Cruz and his camp will do the same.
What about, everybody's looking at the Republican side. How likely or unlikely is it that Hillary Clinton would not have the required number of delegates by convention time?
Again, I think that similar to Trump, she got a big boost last night. If you look at the map, she had concentrated support downstate in New York, and upstate was really Bernie country almost universally. She won a couple of the larger urban areas upstate, but really he crushed it pretty well upstate. It was just in the urban areas downstate that Hillary won. Again, I think that gives her a little bit of momentum, and I think it gives her momentum in establishment states in the Northeast, where she's going to have to compete soon. So that helps her a lot. And the other thing is that if she maintains that momentum. She seems to be leading Bernie and not slipping anymore in the polls. She's not going to lose any of the superdelegates, or a very, very small number. And, you know, that's really where I think her bread and butter is going to be, to make sure that she wins it. She and Bernie may look really close in the results from every primary, but those superdelegates have already sort of given her the nod, and there's no reason at this moment for them to switch over to Bernie Sanders.
We are talking with Charlie Jacobs, an associate professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We are talking about the latest results from the Wisconsin survey, the spring 2016 Wisconsin survey results. We are we're talking about the possibility of a brokered GOP convention. And coming up a little bit later in the hour, we will also hear from Wisconsin supporters of Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, and John Kasich. And each will make the case for their candidate. Which one of those three should be the GOP nominee, or should it be someone else? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are also talking about the spring 2016 Wisconsin survey results with our guest, Charlie Jacobs, an associate professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. And we are welcoming your thoughts and your questions. We're looking at how Wisconsinites feel about supporting a presidential candidate that they did not vote for in the primary, as well as a possible brokered GOP convention. How do you feel about the possibility of supporting a candidate you did not vote for in the primary election? Will you vote for that person? Will you change your mind, or will you stay home? And should the GOP have a brokered convention this summer, who do you think should ultimately get the nomination? Should it be Donald Trump if he has the most delegates but not the required number? How about Paul Ryan, or how about Scott Walker? How about one of the other presidential candidates? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So let's talk a little bit about how respondents reacted when we asked them if they would want the Republican Party to nominate someone other than Donald Trump. We do not want Scott Walker to be nominated the GOP presidential candidate, do we, Charlie?
No, but almost three-quarters of the Wisconsin survey respondents here said no to Governor Scott Walker. And I think that there might be a couple of explanations for that. I mean, if you look at his numbers, and they're not just in this poll, but we've seen this over the last several polls, his approval ratings have sunk. They've improved a little bit from some polls in the fall. But, you know, his disapproval, either strong or just disapproval, is at about 55%. And his approval is at about 43%. And the other fact is that, you know, the respondents, by a margin of about 56%, say the state is headed in the wrong direction. So I just think the opinion of the public is this is the wrong person for this job at this time. Either stay home and do the job, or, as other polls have indicated, you know, more than 60% don't want him to run for another term. So it might just be that they no longer appreciate his politics and what he's achieved for the state, and they don't want him to replicate that at the national level.
Mm. We also don't think that the GOP should give this nomination to House Speaker Paul Ryan. Does that surprise you at all?
It surprises me a little, but I think some answers to some other questions might help to explain that. It seems that, in response to some other questions, that the public is at least thinking in terms of what the rules require, and it seems like they're a little bit rule bound in their approach to the nomination process. So I'm not sure whether or not the 54% who oppose Paul Ryan as the nominee are saying they don't like Paul Ryan and he wouldn't make a good president, but rather he was never in the primary, and we never had a chance to evaluate him. in that context. So let's just choose among those who threw their hat in the ring and competed in the various states during this entire process, because you get a pretty clear understanding of what the candidates are and what they stand for. You know, quite honestly, Paul Ryan has only been a national figure for a bit, and while he's laid on an agenda for the House of Representatives as the Speaker, I'm not sure whether or not we have a clear idea of what his agenda would be as President.
Yeah, but more than half of our respondents felt it would be okay if the party nominated somebody other than Donald Trump, even if he has the most delegates.
Yeah, and again, but I sort of going back to my previous comment, I think part of that is, well, the process allows for that. And because the process allows for that, that would be fine. That also has to be connected to, I think, the general disfavor that the Wisconsin public has for Donald Trump. I mean, if you look at all primary voters and the choices that they made among all the candidates, Democratic and Republican, only 16% of the respondents chose Donald Trump. So, you know, he lags behind Ted Cruz at 21% and Bernie Sanders at 23% and even Hillary Clinton at 17% of the overall vote. So I don't think that he is an individual who is throwing off the warm and fuzzies for the public. And so if given an opportunity, if the rules permit, replace him with another person who's running the Republican primary.
Yeah. Gary on Facebook says, when you start out with 17 candidates, it is highly likely that none will get the 50% needed to secure the nomination before the convention, although Trump could still do it. Political parties are essentially a private club that can pick their nominee any way they want. But when public money is spent on primary elections, most people would think the process should reflect democratic principles. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, there has been a slow transformation from sort of the smoke-filled room process of party politics in the late 19th century to one that is perceived as much more democratic. And, you know, there are pros and cons to both of these. You know, for parties, if they have a more closed process, the idea is that the insiders will pick the person who's most competitive in the race. Of course, that shuts the public out from any meaningful participation. And you might just pick a candidate that they don't like, even though they appear to be electable to the establishment. On the other hand, when you have sort of an all-comers approach where there's no control by the party, you get what Gary is pointing out, 17 people in the race, and it's really becomes difficult for the public to distinguish among them, and then you fracture the electorate in such a way that nobody might actually have a credible chance to win it. Now, what we've seen over the years is that so many of these candidates are so weak that they drop out early enough that they're not really affecting the delegate count, and that's why you see these kind of hybrid systems like the Democrats have. We're still going to let the establishment have their say, and we're still going to create a democratic avenue by which the public can contribute, and hopefully this better controls how the entire process unfolds.
All right, Charlie Jacobs, we're going to ask you to kind of stand by as we will start talking with supporters, Wisconsin supporters of all the remaining Republican presidential candidates, and we'll get have them make their case for their candidate, and then we'll get Charlie Jacobs to respond or react at the conclusion of the hour. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have an online big question poll where we ask you, Donald Trump may not have enough delegates to secure the GOP nomination before the party's convention in July. Should that happen and the party has a brokered convention, who should ultimately get the nomination? Should it be Trump? Should it be Cruz? Should it be Kasich? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let me welcome Dewey Strobel. He is a Republican state senator from Saukville and the chairman of U.S. Senator Ted Cruz's presidential campaign in Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. So,
thank you.
Why do you think Ted Cruz should be president of the United States?
Well, I believe that we need a bold conservative. And I look at Ted Cruz and I see someone who's incredibly intelligent, articulate, a communicator, and somebody who's willing to go to Washington, D.C. and fix what's broken and shake it up. He has the ability to do that. And I think he's shown in his race here in Wisconsin that when he has the time to campaign head-to-head against Donald Trump and people can look at those two and make their comparisons, I think we've got smart voters in this state. And he was, of course, the overwhelming favorite in that election just a little more than a week ago.
Yeah. Well, but yesterday he didn't do so well in New York. He didn't pick up any delegates. Some are saying that, you know, maybe it's over now for him. Should he drop out?
No, of course not. And it certainly isn't over for him. And, you know, it's Trump's home state, and Trump is a creation of the media, and the media is, of course, extremely powerful. What this race really needs to come down to is what does each of these candidates stand for? And when you have a candidate in Senator Cruz that articulates the freedom issue, the jobs issue, the security issue, I mean, those are the things we should be talking about in this race, not all this other baloney that's been going on. I mean, people want to talk about the issues because the issues are what's going to solve the problems in this country, not all the other stuff, the fluff that's just going on in this race, which is, you know, disappointing to me.
Yeah, well, do you think that people are voting for Cruz because they genuinely think he's the best candidate or because he's not Donald Trump?
I believe that it's a vote for Ted Cruz. I mean, you had 17 people. Obviously, a lot of people are going to come from different places. And the way politics is you always have choice A or choice B. I mean, that's the way it is. And you decide which one is the best. And then you go with the one that's best. There's no perfect political candidate, but there's always one that's better than the other one. I mean, that's true in any election and over history's time. And, you know, call it what you want, but, you know, I believe Senator Cruz is the best candidate by far. And if other people believe that, you know, he's just better than Donald Trump, so be it. That's our process. That's how it's worked for years.
So you've previously said that Cruz is the only candidate in the race who will enter the White House and have the courage to make the tough decisions. What tough decisions do you envision him making?
Well, I envision him making decisions that are going to be much better for this country in regards to national security. You know, I see right now as the world out there is a mess, and it's because we haven't been a leader, we haven't been strong, and when that happens, forces that are not good take control, and we're seeing that right now. I think that is a big issue he will do. I believe he will also focus on legal immigration. I believe that many of us here certainly are for legal immigration, but what we're not for is illegal immigration. And right now with open borders, we have illegal immigration. We need to get our system where the only type of immigration we have is legal. And I also believe that as far as the economy, we have overtaxation, we have overregulation, and we are just constraining the economic engine that we have here in the United States, which is the greatest in the world. And I think if we can unleash that and get out of the way of small business and let them do what they need to do to succeed, we're going to have an economic boom here that I don't think we can even imagine. I mean, those are the things that we need to do, again, to keep this country on the path of the greatest in the world. And I believe Ted Cruz can make those things happen.
Should we have a brokered GOP convention with Trump leading in delegates, but not there yet, what would Cruz do? What would he need to do to convince the party that he's the man for the job?
Well, to get the nomination, you need 1,237 votes. If Trump gets 1,237 votes, he's the nominee. If Cruz gets 1,237 votes, he's the nominee. And whether that happens before the convention or during the convention, I mean, that's the process. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it is this year, and that's the way the rules were going in. So that's really at the convention. Of course, if no one's there has obtained 1,237 at that point in time, they're going to have to convince delegates that they are the best person to lead this country in the race for our presidency this fall.
And you think there's still a chance that that could happen and Ted Cruz could emerge the nominee?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the map and you do the math on it. It's virtually impossible for Trump to come up with 1,237 by the election, you know, or by the convention. So there's no question it's not a decided matter, and there's still a lot of decisions to be made between now and that convention.
Yeah. We in our Wisconsin survey, we also did head-to-head matchups. Hillary Clinton, if she were the Democratic nominee, would have a harder time defeating Ted Cruz in Wisconsin than she would Donald Trump. Do you think that Ted Cruz would be a more electable nominee?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we've even begun to see the types of negative campaigning that we're going to see against the likes of Donald Trump. Unfortunately, much of it probably true. And I don't think we've also yet seen the ability of someone with the intellect of Ted Cruz to go head-to-head with Hillary Clinton and debate the issues that the country wants to hear about.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dewey Strobel, a Republican state senator from Saukville. He is the chairman of U.S. Senator Ted Cruz's presidential campaign in Wisconsin. Now we are going to talk with Bob Caston, a former Republican U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. He was named part of real estate mogul Donald Trump's foreign policy team earlier this month. So a supporter of Donald Trump. Good morning.
Good morning. Greetings. Big day for Donald Trump.
It certainly is. He had a big win in his home state of New York, but we heard Dewey Strobel say that's expected. It's his home state of New York, so not unexpected. And he thinks that Ted Cruz is still a potential nominee. What's your reaction to that?
This is going to be a race that goes on for a couple more months. I didn't hear Dewey Strobel's comments, so I'm sorry. But I think that not only was this a big win for Donald Trump, it looks like he's going to get either 89 or 90 out of the possible 95 delegates. So it's a sweep. But Cruz got zero delegates. And even more important than that, Cruz came in significantly behind John Kasich. And I think that it's going to be very, very difficult to make the case in Cleveland that a person that's now coming in third behind John Kasich is the person that somehow the delegates could turn to or should turn to in a contested election. But I'm optimistic about the next couple of months, and I think we saw a Donald Trump personality and a Donald Trump campaign that's growing and becoming more positive all the time.
Yeah. If Trump does not have enough delegates to lock up the nomination before the GOP convention in July, why should delegates stick with Trump and not jump ship for another candidate?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we need 1237 is the magic number, and I think that there's still a very good chance, and the campaign obviously is looking to get 1237. It's going to probably take until California to get to that number. But we've got positive states in between. It's going to be a tough time over the next few weeks for Cruz in particular, with Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland. We've got Rhode Island. We've got Connecticut coming all before California. Those are all states that right now Trump is 15, 20 points ahead. And a couple states of those states, Kasich could come in second. He's more popular than Ted Cruz in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic. If, as you suggested, they come to Cleveland in late July with less than 1237, I think that there's going to be a feeling that the person that's got the most votes, in other words, across the country, Trump is going to be by that time hundreds of thousands of votes ahead of anyone else. And the person that's got the most votes and the person that's got the most delegates, let's just say he comes in with 1,100, the person that's got the most delegates the person that gets the most should win. And that after the first ballot, I think a number of the people that have been supporting Rubio, been supporting Kasich, probably not those that are supporting Cruz, will start to move toward the Donald Trump side. But it's way too early to predict that. Right now, look at New York, look at 90 or 89 new delegates, and the campaign is on the way.
Yeah. Senator Caston, thank you very much for being with us.
Good.
Senator Bob Caston, who was named one of Donald Trump's foreign policy advisors. So we will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then when we come back, we will hear from a supporter of John Kasich. We will hear from a former Wisconsin lieutenant governor and governor, Scott McCallum, coming up after the news. And we'll welcome your thoughts, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. In today's big question, we are asking you, if there is a brokered GOP convention, who should get the nomination? If Donald Trump doesn't have enough delegates to secure the GOP nomination before the party's convention in July, who should ultimately get the nomination? And we have an online poll along these lines if you'd like to vote. Do you think it should be Donald Trump anyway because he has the most? Do you think it should be Ted Cruz? Do you think it should be John Kasich? Or do you think it should be someone else? You can vote in our online poll. We are hearing from different guests this hour about today's big question. We just heard from Bob Casten, a former Republican U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, who is a part of Donald Trump's foreign policy team. And earlier we heard from Dewey Strobel, a Republican state senator from Saukville, who is the chairman of U.S. Senator Ted Cruz's presidential campaign in Wisconsin. Now we will hear from Scott McCallum, former Republican governor of Wisconsin. He has officially endorsed Ohio Governor John Kasich's presidential campaign. Good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning. My pleasure. Thank you.
So why should John Kasich be the president of the United States?
It's an interesting process we go through for both parties. You know, you have to be more of an extremist in the party and say things, and you can often win the races in the primary elections with less than half the vote, with just having a percentage of the vote, a smaller percentage of the vote. John Kasich, head-to-head with Hillary Clinton and with Bernie Sanders, runs the best of the three remaining candidates. He would be the strongest candidate. And if you look at favorables and negatives for each person, John Kasich is the most popular and the least unpopular of the remaining five candidates.
Yeah. Some, though, have called Kasich a spoiler candidate. Some have been encouraging him to drop out. A Republican consultant here in the state said before the primary, a vote for Kasich is a vote for Trump. Why should Kasich stick it out to the convention?
Here you've got a chance. There are three people left in the race, and you've got a good chance to be president. Why should you step aside? It's a good political statement to try to say. I mean, the other two candidates should be trying to say he should drop out. They should be afraid of what he's doing. You look at his numbers. He did come in a strong second, at least a strong, much further ahead than Cruz in New York race yesterday, and seems to be running well in the East and the Northeast. So he's coming on stronger towards the end. But he has a good chance. And again, head-to-head, John Kasich is the one who seems to be the most popular of the American public. And finally, for me, it's even beyond the politics, it's the type of person who is prepared to be president, who can bring the people together. And I think, arguably so, John Kasich is the one candidate of the five who talks about bringing people together as a country rather than the segregated marketing that we have where we're separating the groups, having people fight against each other.
So should we have a brokered GOP convention, what would Kasich need to do to convince the party that he's the man for the job?
Well, one is when you start getting to the third, fourth ballot, and you look back historically, it's not the person who's had the most delegates going into the race. It may be the person who's least disliked. And pretty clearly it's going to be a lot of the delegates are going to be party regulars, people that work in campaigns, some elected officials. They're going to be concerned about the top of the ticket and how the party does, how other candidates do on the ticket. So they're going to want a winner. And again, John Kasich is the one who comes out as the strongest candidate when you get to a general election.
Yeah. So while Wisconsin set Donald Trump back a bit with the victory for Ted Cruz, what do you think the New York results do? We just heard from our political analyst this hour that Donald Trump might be on his way to securing the needed number of delegates before the convention.
Well, if he keeps doing what he did in New York, he'll clearly have enough delegates. That's why in Wisconsin, one of the message that you started out with, a vote for Kasich is a vote for Trump. It was an effort, and I think a very effective effort, on the part of the Cruz people to effectively say we need to stop Trump from getting the right number of delegates. So that was an argument, and again, I thought it was a very effective political argument. So the battle for Kasich is to prevent, to pick off enough delegates, not only through the elections, but also through the process where delegates are elected in caucus procedure. And that battle is, it's hand-to-hand combat that's taking place throughout the states right now, and it's a different type of race. It's an organization, it's grassroots, personal races for each delegate, people that are within the party activists.
And we'll leave it there for now. Governor McCallum, thank you very much for being with us. Scott McCallum, former Republican governor of Wisconsin. He officially endorsed Ohio Governor John Kasich in the presidential campaign. All right. So there we heard from three supporters of the three still active presidential candidates about who should get the nod, especially if there is a brokered convention. And now we will bring back our political analyst, Charlie Jacobs, who's an associate professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. So, Charlie, I'm not sure you were able to hear all three of our Wisconsin supporters of the various GOP presidential candidates, but did anything stand out to you?
A few things. Dewey Strobel was talking about how, you know, he believes that Cruz is somebody who's articulated a position on the issues, and he's spoken to the issues, and that's really been a strength of his. And certainly I won't disagree that he has spoken to them, but I think what the polls are telling us, in particular the one that was released today, is that that wasn't really the top reason why people were picking Cruz. That they might have identified him as the best candidate, but there was also a substantial number who thought that he was the lesser of two evils. Only about 17% identified his position on the issues as something of real importance to them. And Mr. Kasten was arguing about that if we get to the convention and no one has the requisite number of delegates on the GOP side to take it on the first ballot, that because of the lead Trump has, he's likely to sort of pull these delegates over to his side because, well, he's got the most number. A lot of the data that we have and a lot of the investigations that we've seen suggest that there are some bound delegates, even for Trump, who are going to have to sort of hold their nose to cast that first ballot. And if released on the second ballot, might flee from the Trump campaign. So I'm not sure whether or not that is a realistic scenario that's going to unfold. And when it comes to Kasich, while there has been, certainly some history that a consensus candidate is often one that wasn't at the top of the ticket, I'm not sure whether or not in this day and age that's going to happen as we've democratized the process. I think there might be a real push to select between the two top candidates, and I think that's where the fight is likely to be.
Yeah. We have open lines now and time for you if you'd like to weigh in on this big question on a GOP brokered convention. Who should be the GOP nominee? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think that it should be Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or John Kasich? Or what about Paul Ryan, even though he said no? What about Scott Walker? What about someone else? Let us know. That's our big question, and we'll give you an opportunity to sound off on it before the end of the hour, if you want to. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So Mike on Facebook says, if Trump gets the largest number of delegates, the largest popular vote, but does not win the number of delegates required for the nomination, it should be considered a perfectly acceptable solution for the party to choose another candidate. Maybe that candidate is not what's best for the party. That confuses me. But Donald Trump has said he does not want violence, but he didn't know if something like that might happen if he does not get the nomination at the convention. You want to talk some about that?
Well, to sort of go back to Mike's comment, I think what he might be saying, is that one of the issues of sort of plurality elections that we have. So if you've got three candidates running and One polls 34%, and the other two candidates split the rest. If you look at it, more than half of the population didn't like the person who actually wins the plurality election. And so I think that might be one of the ways that we're perceiving it, is Trump may have the most delegates and technically have the most votes, but he might not have majority support. And that can be problematic when the party, you know, doesn't coalesce around that one particular individual. So I think that, that is an issue. But it's kind of the way we run these elections, and this is how we select individuals. And so Donald Trump will have, you know, the capacity to make a really good case. And he has said no violence. And I, one would hope that, that supporters would try to use the system and the rules of the convention to get their person over the top. But you know, you never know how these things are going to unfold. And there are going to be some bruised, you know, egos and some bruised individuals out there if they don't get their person selected.
Yeah. So, Donald Trump has said that the system is rigged. Do you see changes being made to the system?
I could see trying to formalize and routinize the process in each state because, you know, under the rules for both parties, states are allowed to craft particular approaches to selecting delegates and whether or not you have open or closed primaries. And so it becomes a little bit of a fiasco because it's hard to keep track of how delegates are selected, who's bound, who's unbound, how they're bound. You really need a lot of money and you need a lot of insight into the process to be able to keep up with all that. And it really closes the doors to candidates who don't have the kinds of resources necessary. And then you can get somebody like Donald Trump who just by sheer force of his personality and the money he has at his disposal can try to make the system work for himself. So maybe regularizing it a bit is going to solve some of these problems, but I'm not sure states are going to want to give up the autonomy that they have.
In 30 seconds, what do you see happening with the GOP convention?
You know, I think that if the polls are right, we're going to have a brokered convention. And so we're going to have to see what rules they adopt and whether or not we're going to have something that's quick and painless or really a long, dragged-out process.
Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thanks to the callers who did try to participate in Sound Off, but no time now for your votes. We had one for Donald Trump and one for Ted Cruz. You can continue voting online if you go to our poll online at WPR.org/joy, or you can find it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Chris Molina for producing this hour. Thanks to Nyasia Ellison for on-air direction and to Elizabeth Delaquest for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.